preachers preach from this chapter over and over. It's a familiar text. And a few weeks ago, I preached a couple messages about the Spirit-filled life. And just to be honest with you, I cannot get it off my heart for multiple reasons, but I do think one of the reasons is because that our churches will never be more spiritual than the people that are in that church, including the pastor and those who sit in the pews. And it seems like you don't hear as much preaching anymore on being filled with the Spirit, but it's so necessary. Amen. And so tonight I want to go to a familiar text and just give you a few thoughts tonight on how to live a Spirit-filled life. I preached a few weeks ago about living the Spirit-filled life, the Spirit-filled child of God. As I was reading my Bible this morning, this passage just spoke to me, and I want to be obedient to God. Galatians chapter 5, if you're able to stand, verse number 16. The Bible said, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you, also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Father, Lord, I ask you tonight in Jesus' name, God, that you would put it in the heart of every person here tonight that is saved to have a hunger, a desire, to want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to not just be saved, to not just have got out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, but Lord, help them, Lord, to have a desire, to have a great desire to cross the Jordan and live the victorious Christian life, to live in Canaan. God, I ask you now, Lord, to give us wisdom. Help us to, Lord, not do anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit tonight. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I do not want to take every single verse tonight that we have read and preach line upon line in this message, but there's a lot of preaching that could be preached in several sermons that could be preached from this text tonight. But what I do want to do tonight is just give a practical sermon that I would believe that would be a help to every person here that has a desire to want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, this sermon would probably not appeal, no doubt would not appeal to you, although God could speak to your heart. And if you're full of carnality and you have no desire to surrender and live your life for God, then this sermon would not affect you any whatsoever. But for those who are sitting here tonight that says, "Preacher, I want to be closer to God and I don't want to just be saved, but I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit," then I pray that God would let the sermon be so simple, so practical tonight, not that I have anything deep to preach anyway, but would be so easy to be understood that it would help us all to walk closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And when we come to this text, three things I'll mention and then give you the sermon tonight. There is the potential of being Spirit-filled. Now, the potential. You say, what do you mean the potential? Well, I want you to circle, if you have a pen and you write in your Bible, I circled four verses of Scripture that I'm going to come back to tonight that all tells us about the potential that every child of God could be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse number 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Then if you look at verse number 18, notice it says, "But if you be led of the Spirit." Then verse number 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit." And then verse number 25 says, "If we live in the Spirit." What I'm saying to you tonight is the Apostle Paul here, like as in other places, gives us the principle or the instruction telling us, or should I say the encouragement, that you and I that are saved tonight, every person that is saved has the potential of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us. We're sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. Amen? That means when we get born again, we're born again not of corruptible seed,
but of incorruptible, of the word of God, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. But thank God the Spirit of God comes and takes his abode in our heart, and thank God the Spirit lives inside of every person that is saved. That's why there is such a struggle, a warfare between the flesh and the Spirit, because now a man that is saved has two natures. Amen. At first nature is the Adamic nature, that sinful nature. When he was born the first time, he received that physically. But when you get born again, thank God, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside, gives you a new nature, amen, and you and I no longer have to be a slave to sin anymore. So what does that mean? That simply means this, that we have the opportunity, we have the privilege, and thank God we have the potential to live every day of our life filled with the Holy Spirit. And so there's the potential of being filled with the Spirit. And then there is the problem of being filled with the Spirit. What is the problem? Well, if you look at verse number 17, it is in verse number 16 and 17, it is the lust of the flesh. Paul said this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, what is lust? It is a strong desire. It is a strong craving. Amen. You see, you and I tonight have the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit. We have the potential now because the Spirit of God lives within us. But the problem is this stuff we're living in. The problem is this flesh. Amen. And can I tell you tonight, it doesn't matter how long you've been in it. It doesn't matter how long we've been life down life's road. The flesh is still the flesh. Amen. Young, old, middle aged tonight, your flesh and my flesh, Paul said, put no confidence in the flesh. Amen. So what is the problem? The problem is the lust of the flesh. And then the problem is the works of the flesh. Look at verse number 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Boy, this is an ugly list, isn't it? And I'm not going to preach the list tonight. That's another sermon for another day. But think about how wicked the flesh, the works of the flesh. You see, the flesh does not produce life, amen, because the flesh is dead. He said in Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, verse number 1, for you are dead in your trespasses and sin, amen. I mean, this flesh is sinful. It's dying tonight. But here's the works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness. That's just filthiness. Lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. I mean, it's an ugly list. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Notice what Paul said here, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And what's he saying there? He's talking about a lifestyle. Anybody, listen, my flesh could commit adultery tonight. Your flesh could commit adultery. Our flesh tonight is capable of idolatry and witchcraft. You can read about it in the Old Testament, God's people. Our flesh is capable of hatred, hating somebody, envying somebody. Our flesh has a problem with wrath and strife and all these other things. The flesh is capable of all of these things tonight. But one sinful act, my friend, does not amount to the same as a lifestyle. What I'm saying is sin, but just because David committed sin, he committed adultery, he committed murder, two of these sins that are mentioned here in this text here. But David was a man after God's own heart. Amen. It was not David's lifestyle. We look at David's life and we see those sin in his life. But I want to tell you, those who say they're saved tonight, but they've lived an entire life of adultery, they've lived an entire life of filthiness and fornication, and you talk to them about it and they tell you they're saved. Well, according to the Bible, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, that's just what the book says here tonight. And I've talked to people come from a long family or come from a family of a long line of drunkenness, and talked to my uncles in the past, and some of them have gotten saved, some have not. But talking to them, and they would tell you that they're saved, and but they haven't been to church in all of their life. And they spend every day that they can drinking like a fish. He said, well, Brother Gravely, you can't see their heart. No, but I can look at their fruit.
And by their fruits you shall know them. And when I look at them, they're not saved. And I pray for their salvation, but I want to tell you tonight, even my dad, when he was lost, one of them said something to him about the Lord one day, and he said, well, ain't no sense in you talking to me about God. You're in a better shape as I've been, amen? Well, if he ever told the truth, that was it, amen? Even sinners know that tonight. What I'm saying is the problem is the flesh. Now, we that are saved tonight, the problem of being filled with the Spirit is not the Spirit, it's not the Scriptures, it's not that God hadn't given us the ability to be filled with the Spirit, but the problem tonight is this stuff here. You see, my biggest enemy and your biggest enemy tonight is not the devil. It is not the world. They are our enemies tonight because they're the enemies of God. But the greatest enemy tonight that we face in our life is our flesh. Amen. You think about it. David fought Goliath one time. Wonder how many times in life we would even face the devil. He fought the Philistines several times. But the enemy that David feared the most was Saul, the one he had to live with in the palace. The enemy that we should fear the most should be our flesh. And the only way to overcome the flesh tonight is to be filled with the Spirit. I want to say tonight in this text, I want you to notice not only the potential, not only the problem of being filled, but here it is tonight, the pattern for being filled with the Spirit. What is the pattern to be filled? Young people, I hope that God puts this in your heart tonight. Because it's not rocket science. It's not some different plateau. It's very practical. It's very simple. And if you'll just apply it to your life, and I believe some of you are, maybe most of you are tonight. I believe there's a lot of people here that are applying it, but there's some that maybe are not. But I'll tell you, every person that will just apply this tonight in your life, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're saved. I want to say, number one, it involves some footsteps. This I say then, verse 17, walk in the Spirit. Brother Gravely, I want to know how to be filled with the Spirit. Well, you got to walk in the Spirit. Well, how do you walk in the Spirit? Well, think about walking for just a minute. I thought about that. Walking, you know what it involves? I'm doing it right now. It involves an effort, doesn't it? Now, I don't mind walking around here. Me and my wife, we try to walk at home. We got a little pattern. We'll walk at home. And can I be honest with you? There's some days I get up and I feel like walking. And there's some days I just don't. We'll read our Bibles together. We'll pray together. We'll drink a gallon of coffee together. And all the time we're drinking and at coffee and we're reading our Bible and saying, now we're going to walk this morning. She'll say that to me because she's a lot more committed than I am. She said, we're going to walk. Oh, yeah, we're going to walk. Let's just drink one more cup of coffee. And we walk. But it takes effort. You don't walk without a purpose. You have to make your mind up. Well, when it comes to walking in the Spirit, it just don't happen by accident. You have to make your mind up. There has to be an effort. You say, what kind of effort? An effort to read your Bible. You got to know where you're going in the Scriptures. You got to have a starting point, and you got to have an ending point. And I know that may be very practical, but just don't do this every day. I'm not fussing if you do that, but I'm saying have a place you start, and it don't matter where you start. You start at the beginning. You can start at the end. You can start in the middle. That's the good thing about this book. You can start anywhere the Lord leads you to start. Just start somewheres and go somewheres. Amen. Line upon line, chapter verse upon verse, chapter upon chapter. Put forth the effort. Listen, you put forth the effort to pray. Amen. You say, what is that? It's exercise. Walking is exercise, isn't it? You know, when we walk, that's why we don't enjoy it. I don't mind walking right now. But if you said to me, all right, make 5 laps around this church, the entire building, right now, go outside and walk around it 5 times, my flesh is already not wanting to do that. And we're not even going to do it. Doesn't your flesh kind of kick back on that? When I say, all right, tonight after church, how many of y'all want to walk with me 5 times around this building? Now you're going to get in your car and leave. The flesh loves to sit. Not just physically, but spiritually. That flesh just seems sitting in that pew as ever do anything for God. That's why I stay on you about coming to the choir and singing in the choir and stay on you about Sundays. I'm not fussing. I hope you never take it as fussing. I just sing the other side. I thank God for people that push me along life's way, encourage me along life's way. If you don't, you know what will happen? You'll just sit down and die on God. He said, preacher, how do you know that? Because I live in the same flesh you live here. Sometimes there is things I don't want to do for God. Sometimes my flesh don't want to do some things, but there's got to be the exercise. There's got to be the effort. You say, well, I didn't do it yesterday. Well, don't quit because you quit. Yeah. You know what I found out about walking? It works today, even if you did miss it yesterday. Yeah. Isn't that right? How many of y'all have started and said, I'm going to walk 2 miles a day? And you start and you stop and you start and you stop. Now, come on, you can hide your halo and tuck your wings in. You've probably walked 1,000 miles in your lifetime, just not consistently. Am I telling the truth? We start and we do good for a while, and then we fall off the wagon. But you know what? Thank God you don't quit. You get back up and you give her another run, don't you? You say, well, yeah, but you know, if I'd have walked from the beginning till now, I wonder where I'd be. You'd probably have walked into eternity, amen? But you know, the fact is you just didn't lay down altogether and quit. Can I tell you that's how it is when it comes with God? You say, well, I didn't do too good this week. Well, do better this week, amen? Don't just throw the towel in. God didn't throw the towel in on you. Why should you throw the towel in on yourself? Amen. I'm telling you tonight, God is more merciful and God is more compassionate. It involves an effort. It involves exercise. But you got to walk in the Spirit. You can't be filled with the Spirit if you don't walk in the Spirit. Amen. You got to love what the Spirit loves. It involves every day, everyone. This I say then, it's a command, walk in the Spirit. The Spirit loves the Scriptures, so walk in the Scriptures. The Spirit loves prayer, walk in prayer. You say, I'm not as like so-and-so how they pray. You don't have to pray like so-and-so. Just pray the way God wants you to pray. Have your own prayer life. Have your own individual personal time with God. You know, it's good to read books and read how other men have prayed and how God has used their life, and it can be an encouragement, but you got to start somewhere. Young people, you just got to start and just got to make your mind up. You're going to talk to God every single day. And maybe it's a little here and it's a little there. And some days maybe it's a long time, but it may not be the same every time. But just be faithful. Walk in the Spirit. Spirit loves prayer. Spirit loves the Bible. The Spirit loves holiness. Talking about walking. Walking in the way, the right way. You know, and I'll say a little more about that here in just a minute, but go do the things the Spirit loves to do. You got to think about it like this. Everywhere we go, we take the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have to ask ourselves this question. Where do I take the Holy Spirit? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You know, sometimes when you walk, you start out walking, you don't feel like it. But if you go ahead and do it, you know what happens? That metabolism gets going, doesn't it? And it picks up a little bit, and you thought, man, this wasn't so bad after all. Thought I was going to die the first 3 minutes. And I'm walking on a flat sidewalk. You know, but the more you do it, guess what? The better you feel. You know, it's the same way with reading your Bible. Some days the flesh will fight you and say, you ain't got time to read that Bible today. You got time. You got so much to do today, and you're going to try to pray. Your mind's too clouded, and you're too tired. But just go ahead and do it anyway. Some days, prayer seems like it doesn't get above the ceiling, does it? Some days, walking in the Spirit seems like just a formality, doesn't it? I read, I prayed. Did you get help? Well, sure, the Bible always helped. But did I really see anything specific? Not anything specific. I prayed today, just tried to pray the best I could. Don't really know if it didn't feel like it got above the ceiling. Oh, but there's them other days. There's them other days. Them other days, if you keep on walking, I'm going to tell you, there's them days
where God will just take the Bible and it just seems like it's love letters written personally to you, and it seems like it's so rich and it's just what you need. And then there's some other days in prayer when it seems like the time with Him is so sweet and it's so good and prayer is so wonderful and it seems like He's so near and you can almost reach out and touch Him. I'll tell you what that is. That's reward on them days for being faithful all them other days. You see, it's not every day we feel like the heavens just showers us with blessing, but God sees us walking. I promise you, every single day He's got a listening ear. His eyes are over the righteous, and some days He just reaches out and pulls you up a little bit closer because He wants you to know, son, I'm near you and I'm listening. But you got to walk if you ever know that. You'll never know that if you don't walk. Then secondly, it involves following. Notice what He said. But if you be led of the Spirit. I thought about this. An individual that is saved can never be led of the Spirit if they don't walk in the Spirit. Romans 8 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You know, I could give a testimony, as I did this morning, about the day that I got saved. But truthfully, can I be honest? I don't have to go back to that day to see that I'm saved. I'm thankful for that testimony. But I want to tell you this morning, if I forget that day altogether, He hasn't forgotten it. Amen. If the day ever comes, I can't remember it. He remembers it. But I don't have to go back and replay in my mind the experience that I had to assure myself that I'm saved. You say, how do you know that? Because God's as real today as He was that day. And if you'll open the Bible and if you'll get with God, He'll be real to you every day of your life. I'm telling you, He'll lead you down the right path. I'm telling you, if you'll just follow Him, if you'll walk in the Spirit and follow Him, He will lead you. Amen. Has God ever led you? He leads. I like that song. We might sing it tonight. He leads His dear children along. I like that old song. Has God ever led you? Led you through a trial? Led you through a valley? Ever led you through a storm where you didn't know how you was going to get out of it, but day by day, step by step? He led you through the night, the darkness, when you couldn't see what was coming around the corner and all you could do was just take one step of faith at a time. You couldn't take a big leap of faith, but you just let the Spirit of God lead you. I'm telling you, there's things in my life, and I'm sure you have them in yours right now. I do not have the answer. I do not know what the outcome's going to be, but I rest in this one fact that I don't know what that's about, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I know one thing. I didn't get here where I'm at today by myself. Thank God He leadeth me. He's led us along this way. And whatever tomorrow holds, whatever the next day holds, thank God there's a gentle shepherd and there's a good hand that will lead you. Hallelujah. And I need Him to lead me. I need Him to lead me every single day. Don't you? I need Him to lead us in the good or in the little things, and I need Him to lead us in the big things, because if He don't lead us in the little things, them little things will become big problems is what they'll become. You know, if you'll let Him, He'll lead you in your worship. You'll worship God at home. Oh, it'll be just as good as at church. He'll lead you in witnessing. He'll give you the words to talk to people. He'll give you the nudge when to talk to people. He'll lead you in your wardrobe. Amen. Spirit-filled people don't strip their clothes off. Is that right? I'll say it one more time. Spirit-filled people do not strip their clothes off and show their flesh. You don't ever have to tell a spirit-filled person to be modest. They don't have to go read, and I ain't against this. Don't miss it. Young people, go read books on modesty, because you need the answers. But what I'm saying is, spirit-filled people don't have to go read a book on modesty to know how to dress. I'm telling you, all you have to do is get up in the morning and pull something out of the closet and go stand in front of the mirror and say, Lord, is what I'm wearing pleasing to You?
And I promise you, if it pleases God, it'll be modest. Nakedness is always seen as sin in the Bible. The thigh, you don't hear a lot of preaching on it, but we should preach more on it now than ever. This world's so, well, they love to strip their clothes off, don't they? Summertime's come on, and I'm telling you, and you know, they're lost, and that's, I understand that. We that are saved, the Holy Spirit teaches us to live a holy life, and that includes our wardrobe. That means things won't be too tight. They won't be revealing. Spirit-filled people don't show off their bodies. Spirit-filled people don't advertise. Spirit-filled people don't show their flesh. And I'm just telling you tonight, in any church in America, when you preach this, it gets quiet and tight. And I'm the only reason I keep hammering, well, not the only reason, it needs to be hammered. But another reason I hammer is because I want the young people to come up and hear the same preaching we heard. Another reason, there's a lot of reasons more. I'm thinking about it right now. It's right, Brother Danny. It's just right. Amen. It was right. It was right 100 years ago. It was right 500 years ago. It's still right today. I know this liberal crowd don't like it. I know you'll get pegged in a hurt, but I really, listen, it doesn't really matter. Amen. To spirit-filled people, they know that what I'm saying tonight is truth, that the Bible it'll get into your wardrobes what it'll do. I know that tonight. 14 years old at a youth outing, and the Sunday school teacher that led me to the Lord said, I want you to give a devotion. Our church wasn't quite taught everything like we have heard. And so we had on, you know, all the boys had on their knee knockers. That's almost modest now, ain't it? And I went to my tent. We were camping. And I got my Bible out, and I opened my Bible. And I got a verse or something anyway. I don't remember what. But anyway, that night, I felt strange the whole time. And when I got up to give that little devotion, the whole time I was trying to give a devotion, the Holy Spirit was saying, you know, you really shouldn't be wearing shorts anymore. You need to cover yourself. The whole time I'm sitting there, and I mean, it's as quiet as it is right now. Everybody else had shorts on, but the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. I said, you don't need to wear them shorts. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't care how many people argues the point. I don't care how many people gets mad. I don't care what people say in the social media world. I don't care if somebody writes a book on why, Brother Terry. It's all right for a boy to run around sissified with some shorts on and show his pearly white. And I'm going to tell you, I've been on vacation. I wouldn't do it because it'd scare you to death, but I got a farmer's tan, okay? Yeah. It goes to about right here. It goes to about right here. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I just strip off on vacation. I don't care who writes a book on what people say. I know this. I know standing there with that Bible in my hand, the Holy Ghost said, son, if you want to go further with me, don't wear them shorts no more. And I'm just telling you tonight. Do what you want to do. You don't do it here now. Do what you want to. I don't want you to. But I'm just telling you tonight. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You want God? You want more God? How you get more God out of a pair of shorts? I don't surrender. It's just surrender is what it is. That's all it is. Ain't no power in wearing them to your ankle, but it's surrender. And that's one. That's just an example. You understand? That's only an example. I'm not telling you tonight, if you're a young man and you give up your shorts, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You could give them up and be bitter and mean as a junkyard dog. But what I'm telling you tonight is when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on something, if you'll let him lead you in that wardrobe, women, you let him lead you in that wardrobe, he'll fill you. Because it's a surrender. Well, for the seven people that are still listening to this sermon, I really just want to help you go further. the sensitivity, if you be led of the Spirit. See, nobody ever changed me on that because I know God spoke to me about that. He's never changed his mind. And I wonder how many things in all of our life. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. There have been times he spoke to me and I didn't listen. Some things are harder than others, aren't they? See, you might be or not never have a problem with that. But I tell you, there have been other things in my life the Holy Spirit dealt with me about. He led. And said, what about this? I wonder tonight what God could do at Bible Baptist Church if all of us tonight in this building, including the pastor, would us open our hearts so big and say, Lord, I won't get angry. I won't get mad. I won't go home and fume over it. But Lord, you have free reins of every pew of this church tonight to deal with every heart about every little thing that you want to deal with in our life. Lord, if you'll lead us, we'll follow. I wonder what God would do. Don't you think God send revival? Don't you think that is why God don't send revival today? Being led. I wonder what it is that you need to be led tonight. Would you let the Lord lead you? Is there any area of your life that you just have said no to Him about? Would you open that up tonight and say yes to Him? Let Him work in that area of your life. I'm talking about how to be filled tonight. It takes footsteps. You got to get in this book. Then you got to be led. And it's not just today, it's every day. And then notice this, not just following. See, that's it tonight. Will you follow? Will I follow? Will we follow Jesus? We won't follow Him to the cross if we won't even follow Him in the little things. Would you follow Him? And then the fruit. Notice this. And isn't it the way it goes? You walk in the Spirit. If you'll walk, He'll lead you. You need an answer for you. I can't get off of this. You need an answer tonight, a financial answer? Walk in the Spirit. He'll lead you financially. You got burden about one of your children tonight? Walk in the Spirit. Get filled with the Spirit. He'll lead you how to deal with those children. You see, tonight, when it comes to this church, I would make a mess of things of this church. This church, I can't pastor a church after all these years. I do not have the answers for what this church needs to go forward. But thank God, I know the one who does tonight. Amen? There is one that He knows everything that this church needs to do because it's His church and it's what He wants. Amen? I'll tell you, it's a whole lot easier sitting in a passenger seat and letting Him sit in the driver's seat and say, Lord, if You'll do the leading, I'll just do the following. Amen. I don't need an explanation. I don't need an answer as to why. I just need You to lead me. Hallelujah. Amen. Walk, lead. Then if you walk, He'll lead you. And guess what? There'll be fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit. Notice these things. Love, joy, peace, long-sufferingness, gentleness. Think about that gentleness, long-sufferingness, joy, love. I'm going backwards again on purpose. Goodness. Why do our churches in America, why do they get divided? Why do people have problems with each other in church when they've been saved by grace? Why do people hold grudges against other Christians? Why is that? I'll tell you why. They don't walk in the Spirit. You can't be full of the Spirit and full of anger. You can't be full of the Spirit, full of jealousy or envy. You can't blame everybody for everything that goes wrong in your life and get full of bitterness. Be full of the Spirit. Fruit, I tell you, the fruit, meekness, temperance. Boy, aren't those some good qualities? And I will say tonight that I cannot have those qualities in my life if the Lord or if the Holy Spirit does not fill me. It's a lot easier to get mad than it is to be long-suffering. It's a lot easier to be negative than to have joy. It's a lot easier to hate than it is to love. But when the Spirit controls us, you know, it just, Sometimes when that flesh wants to rise up, the Holy Spirit, a soft answer turns away wrath, doesn't it? Just sometimes when you don't want to say the right thing, but the Holy Spirit, He gives you what to say. Amen. You know, I think tonight there's not a church in our nation, I'm talking about independent Baptist churches, and I'll say this as preachers too, not a church tonight in America that couldn't have revival, God's people, unity. There ought to always be unity in God's house. If we be filled with the Spirit. It's hard to get Spirit-filled people to stay mad at you very long. The fruit. Do you want that fruit in life? I wonder, you don't have to raise your hand, but if I ask the question tonight, myself included, how many of us want to have a life of joy? How many of us want to have a life of peace? How many of us want to have a life of love? Well, we can if we're filled. You met people in life that didn't have nothing, but they had joy. And other people that are saved and they got all kinds of things, but they're always griping. They're always miserable. What's the difference? Spirit of God. How is it that some people can... I thought about Manetta. Went to the hospital just probably a few hours after she got a report. And I said to her, I said, Manetta, I said, I'm sorry that you got this bad report. She was just smiling. She had all of her teeth. Remember when she got all of her teeth? She was just smiling. She said, preacher, she said, they say I'm going to die. But she said, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Yeah. Kindly hard to be sad, preacher. Well, she said that. You know how she'd do that? And I thought, you know, God saved her. Amen. From the... We all got pulled out of the bottom. But you know what I mean. God saved her out of the bottom. And He filled her with joy. I tell you, in life, I might lose the ability to walk. Might lose the ability to see. Might lose a lot of physical ability in this life. But I tell you, if I could die with just one thing, I tell you what I want to die with. My joy. I want to die with joy. Don't you? I want to live for God with joy. The only way to do that is to be filled. You know, if you think about it, young people, listen to me. Preacher, you can't bear fruit. And you don't have to. But if you'll walk, and if you let the Holy Spirit lead you, He'll bear fruit in your life. You'll have joy. You'll have love. You'll have peace. You'll be long-suffering. What I'm saying to you is this, is that He'll help you. The fruit. How do you feel? Walk. Be led. There'll be fruit in your life. And then I'll say this in closing. Notice finally here, this last thing, verse 25, I think it is. There's faith. He said if we live in the Spirit. You want to be a Spirit-filled Christian? You got to have faith. You know where faith comes? You got to be born again. You know why some people are never filled with the Spirit? They've never been saved. I pray in this church tonight that every person here is saved, but I fear that that's not true. You need to be saved. The Bible said, if we live in the Spirit. When you get saved, as I said, the Spirit, He lives inside you. So Paul said, if we live in the Spirit, well, let's walk in Him. If He's on the inside, let's walk in Him. That's the question tonight. Is He on the inside? I don't just think, because it doesn't matter what I think. But I know tonight that there are people in churches, they have problems with everybody. And I'm not going to beat up. If there's somebody here tonight, I'm not going to beat up on you. But you ought to do an inventory list tonight. If you've got a long list of people that you've had problems with over and over and over and over again. You know, I've seen people, they've been a member of 15 churches. And every church they go to seems like there's trouble. And they have to leave and they go to this church and 2 years later there's trouble here. Then they go to this church and there's trouble here. They never get it, do they? It's all them other people. But it's not. You know, if I had problems with everybody I was in contact with, I think I'd do inventory tonight. There are people that have sat in churches for years I got people come to my mind right now. Never seen God one time in their life. Always got something against the people of God. I'm going to tell you tonight, I've used the illustration before, but I use it again. Brother Laddie, if me and you got in a squabble tonight, I know you well enough to know. I've known you too many years. We'd have to resolve it, wouldn't we? It's got to come to an end. Because we can't be right with God if we're not right with each other. Brother Daddy, you're the same way. If we got into it tonight, we'd have to make it right, wouldn't we, brother? Because you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit and hate your brother tonight. Now, one last verse and I'm done. I know I preached longer than I should, but I want to give you this one last verse tonight. I read this verse and I thought, boy, this is two verses. Look at verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You know, crucifixion was a slow death, wasn't it? And the question in this verse is, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. What is it in my flesh? What is it in your flesh that needs to die? What is it in your life? Is it a gossiping tongue that needs to die? Is it a bitter spirit? Tonight we could just go right down the list of things. Is there something in your life? Tonight will be the night you say, you know what, I'm going to crucify that. Crucifixion was a slow death. What does that mean? It means you put it on the cross tonight, but it ain't going to be gone. You're going to put it on the cross tomorrow. You're going to put it on the cross the next day. And give it to God, put it on the cross the next day. But I'll tell you what, if you'll keep it on the cross, it'll die. Because crucifixion is a slow death. Maybe it's a bad attitude. Maybe it's a negative spirit. Maybe it, whatever it is tonight. Maybe it's worldly things. Maybe it's worldly pleasures. Maybe it's some sitcom. Maybe it's some movie that you watch. Maybe I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something on the internet tonight. But it needs to be put on the cross. It needs to die tonight. Because if you don't ever do that, you'll never be filled with the Spirit. And then I notice this last verse, verse 26. I wrote this down beside this verse. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, attention. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, attention. Provoking one another, aggravation. Envying one another, anger. Those three things, do they not name the society that we live in today? People want attention. People try to provoke one another. Maybe it's I got a bigger house. Maybe I've got a nicer car. You know, I don't know what it is. But people, whether they mean to or not, all those things that people are always putting out there in the social world, that's what it does. It provokes people. Envying one another, always wanting what somebody else has. Tonight, the answer is just this for all of us. We all live in a body of clay. And tonight, to be what God wants us to be, I can't be what God wants me to be. But I can walk in the Spirit. I can let the Holy Spirit lead me. And then the fruit is He will make us what He wants us to be. You cannot take these nine things tonight and say, well, I'm just going to try to be love. I'm just going to try to be joy. I'm just going to try to be peace. You can't be those things. But I tell you, if you'll just walk, and if you let the Holy Spirit lead, and if you crucify the things that need to be crucified, you can be filled with the Spirit tonight as we stand. If you need to come, you obey.